Tonight, I'd like to share with you a story based on a myth from China, the legend of Long Mo, the Dragon Mother. She is revered in China even today. I visited her shrine with a friend in Hong Kong about 5 years ago. We watched from the sidelines as people came to pay respects at her altar. Many, many years ago, in a tiny village so small it has no name, there lived a young woman and her husband by a tiny stream. Her name was Ying Wenshi. His name was Wen. That's his last name. Everything about him has been forgotten. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Wen were very, very poor, and worse yet, they had no children. They longed for children. They lived in a small, chilly hut by the stream, and every day they gathered kindling and food. In their hut, their proudest possessions were a sturdy cast-iron pot for cooking and a blanket on their bed. At night, they slept close by each other to stay warm. One day, when Wen was out gathering roots, Ying was fishing in the stream. She loved the water. It was cool and clear, and she could stand in the stream for hours with her hands cupped, just so, waiting for a fish to swim by. Today, she was fishing in a new spot in the water, and that's when she found the egg. It was deeply submerged and almost serpentine in its colors. She carried her big egg home in her arms. It seemed to fit there. Wen was waiting for her when she came in. Oh, he was very happy to see her with a giant egg. "I am so hungry," he said. "It's about time you were home, but I forgive you for your lateness." "What an egg. I can't wait to dig in. We haven't had eggs in so long. We could have steamed egg, or we could have egg with green onion. There's a little bit of rice. I'll make it right now to go with our egg." Ying slowly shook her head. "No. No, husband," she said. "We can't steam this egg or make an omelet. There's something special about this egg. Can't you see? I want to keep it." "You're right. There's something special about this egg," said Wen. "It's huge. It could feed us for a week. I don't see why we can't eat this egg." Well, he was very hungry, and hungry people can be pretty insistent. They argued back and forth, but Ying would not give in. She finally had to promise that she would catch a fish right now, and Wen said that he'd eat the egg if she wasn't back by sundown. The sun was already low in the sky. Fortunately for the egg, and for this story about the egg, Wen was able to catch a fish almost right away. Like magic. Truthfully, Wen still wasn't really happy about eating fish and not egg. He had fish all the time, and he really wanted the egg. But he thought, well, tomorrow's another day, and maybe tomorrow we'll eat the egg. Well, that's what he thought, but Wen never got to eat the egg. That night, Ying felt that it was somehow right to keep the egg safe and secure in the hearth. Before she fell asleep, she opened an eye to look at it once more, this beautiful object. And it must have been just a trick of the light that made it seem filled with 5 bright gems. In the morning, though, the egg was gone. In its place were pieces of broken, charred shell. Where was the egg? Ying was on her knees beside the pieces of shell, crying softly. When she heard the first soft squawks, like an eagle's nest. Looking under the bed, she could see 10 tiny eyes like emeralds gleaming in the dark. She wasn't afraid at all. It was just like when she was a little girl, dreaming of magic and monsters. She reached out a hand, and under the bed, one of the tiny tongues licked her finger and then nipped it, as though to say, "Feed me, Mama. I'm hungry." There were 5 tiny baby dragons under the bed. Well, children, as you know, are always hungry, and that's especially so if your children happen to be dragons. Putting her finger to her lips, shh, she told the tiny dragons to be quiet while she ran off to the stream. She had barely slipped off her sandals and bent over with her hands cupped when a big fish slipped right into her fingers. Hooking a finger into the gill, she ran home with her big fish, enough for breakfast and for her dragons. But when she got home, all was chaos. The bed was on its end, the cooking pot was on the floor, and Wen was standing on the table with a big stick in his hands. "Husband," said Ying, what are you doing?" "There are snakes in the house," said Wen. "Snakes," said Ying. "Those are not snakes. Those are dragons. Can't you see? They're dragons." But Wen could not see they were dragons. People who don't believe in magic and monsters can't see magical creatures, and dragons, well, are pretty magical. Wen saw snakes, and what's more, he really, really didn't like snakes. He didn't even like eating snakes. That's how much he didn't like snakes. Well, there was another fight in that small house. I won't tell you all that was said, but in the end, Wen said the snakes had to go or he would go. And Ying said, "Well then, off you go." And that was that. From that day on, Ying devoted her life to raising her dragons. As they grew, and they grew very quickly, they shed their baby dragon scales and their baby dragon teeth and became 5 peerless adults in black, white, yellow, red, and blue. Oolong, the black dragon, was the biggest and the leader. But all of them were masters of the water and weather. They could hunt, swim, and fly, which is a very good thing because soon they grew too big for Ying to feed by herself. But for Ying, she wasn't poor anymore. She knew that a dragon's tooth knife, even when it's made of baby dragon teeth, is a very fine knife. And with her new wealth, she was able to build a big new home with a very tall fence by the stream. The dragons, now full grown, slept by day and hunted by night, and overall were unnoticed and unseen. That is, the adults couldn't see them, but the children saw them perfectly well. They hadn't yet lost the wonder of magic. And sometimes they'd say, "Look, Mama, dragons." And Oolong, the mischievous one, would give a tiny burst of flame, so small it'd hardly roast a pig. And the children would laugh in delight, much to the confusion of their parents. And so the decades passed until the summer of the big storm. That summer, everyone found there were dragons in their midst. That year, the summer rains came at the same time the snows in the mountains melted. The rains bucketed down, lit by lightning and driven by hurricane-strength winds. High in the mountains, huge old trees were uprooted and fell into the water, joining boulders as big as houses. It was a torrent of dangerous water, all of it building in the mountains to smash down on the unsuspecting villagers far below. The village didn't know it, but they needed a miracle. Now, ordinarily, dragons do not go out of their way to help people. But these dragons had been loved, cared for, and raised by a human, their beloved dragon mother, Ying. The white dragon, with his extra keen sense of hearing, heard the boulders crashing in the mountains high overhead. The dragons nudged Ying awake. What were they going to do? Now, Ying had lived most of her life alone. There had been no help for her when she was poor and starving, and it was by her own wits that she had made her fortune. She owed the villagers and everyone else nothing. But Ying was truly the dragon mother, mother of dragons and mother to her people. "Go quickly and save the village," she said. "Go now. There is no time to lose." And in the breaking red dawn, as the rains continued to fall, the dragons unfurled their mighty wings and flew into the sky. These creatures of night and fire rode the currents of wind and water and lightning to the village. The waters were quickly rising. The banks were breaking, and families that had tried to cross the stream were now stranded on either side, crying out to each other. The dragons were everywhere at once, here snatching up children waist-deep in the water, there plucking people from trees, there picking roofing off collapsed houses. A long, long time later, the storm abated. The villagers made it to higher ground, and the village was saved thanks to the 5 dragon children of Ying. Wearily, they flew home, but their home was gone. The stream, swollen with the mighty waters from the mountains, had washed the house out to the sea. Their mother was gone. The dragons almost went rogue in their grief and misery. But these dragons were different. They knew the best and worst of humanity. To be a dragon was to be immortal, but to be human was to know love. The 5 dragon children of Ying Wenxi gave up their immortality to become the first 5 cultural teachers of China. They gave to the Chinese people music, strategy, calligraphy, painting, and poetry. They changed the course of history forever. But it's not the dragons that people revere today. It's Longbo, the dragon mother. You can remember her the next time you order oolong. That's black dragon tea. Thank you.